The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.
We are going to be joined now by Ben Rendell and John Godbower, who both have had rather different holiday experiences. But, well, we're going to find out about whether or not there were any challenges or whether or not it was plain sailing. That's if any of them were actually sailing. Let's speak to Ben and John now. Hi, guys.
Hi.
So let's start with you, Ben, because you have been doing a bit of travelling, and one place you went to was New York, and you went with your girlfriend, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yep. So we went probably about nearly a year ago now. Time goes on, but yeah, no, we went and stayed in sort of midtown New York near Times Square for a week.
Nice. Okay, so you go along, and let me ask you the first question that a lot of sighted people might ask you, which is, well, what do you get out of it if you can't see anything?
I guess it's the experience of being there, you know, because okay, you might be missing out on sort of the visual views, but it's there's a lot more than just the sort of the visuals. There's, you know, the people, there's the food, quite a big thing, and just sort of the experience of doing it, you know, like, I mean, going to the top of the Empire State Building, okay, you're not going to get a lot, but you've got, you know, you've got the wind, you can, you know, you can feel that you're high up, and it's just the experience of doing it as well, and you can say that, yeah, I've done that, and, you know, I've always wanted to do it, sort of thing.
Is there more planning involved for you because, you know, you and your partner are both blind? Does it make it that there's more involved in getting ready to go and all the things you have to think about?
Maybe it's sort of in a little way, but not really, because we didn't really sort of plan anything or ahead of ourselves. The only thing we sort of asked, we're sort of, you know, booked the assistance for the flights, and, you know, just sort of rang the hotel and said, you know, this is our situation, what sort of help can you give us, and that's probably about it. You know, we didn't plan anything, we just took every day as it came, so I wouldn't have said so. I mean, maybe a little bit more sort of organization, that's about it, to be honest.
Okay, I must admit that tends to go against the grain of what I hear from a lot of people, and in my own experiences as well. You often, I think, sometimes have to really think ahead, you know, if you're going somewhere, you know, maybe think about the public transport or think about the you know, environment you're going to be in, where the hotel is located, is it nearby, you know, in New York's case, a subway station or whatever. Let's bring in John Godbower on this. John, you've been to Windermere, which is a lovely place, let's be fair, and it's not New York, but, you know, it's actually, in a lot of ways, probably my preferred choice because it's a bit more relaxing. Tell us about your experiences there.
Well, we specifically we organised an R&IB Connect East Midlands a trip to the Vision Hotel at Windermere. I'm going to be honest, Stephen, before I first went to the Vision Hotel, I would have been filled with horror at the idea of going to a special blind person's hotel.
Yes, so let's clear that up. For people who don't know, the Vision Hotels are specialist hotels that are, you know, they're not exclusively for blind and partially sighted people, but, you know, if you are blind or partially sighted and you go along, you are going to find that you'll get more assistance and more understanding about sight loss.
And that's exactly it. In fact, what really sold me on the whole thing was, I mean, the hotel is nice. It's a nice old manor house, and it's got a swimming pool, and it's great. But the one thing that doesn't happen there is there's no issue about sight loss. So I think, you know, if I was at a mainstream hotel now, I would hesitate about going in the pool because of all the explaining you have to do when you bump into people and finding your way around the changing room and all that kind of stuff. Nothing like that matters at the Vision Hotel there. You can get as much help as you want. It's not an institution. You don't have to do things in a certain way. But if you want the kitchen staff to get the stuff from the buffet for you, they will. If you want them to pour your tea, they'll do that. If you want to be left alone, they'll leave you alone. And it's great. You can be there and just enjoy yourself without thinking or without being conscious at all of your sight loss. And they have a minibus, and they have volunteers, really well-trained, patient volunteers who will go out with you and do good lots of audio description. We went to a little village and went around the church, and it was a great volunteer who wasn't trying to, you know, tell us every bit of information. He was very good at sensing when we came across something that was a bit boring for us, and he moved us on quickly and then spent
good.
More time. Yeah, you know, 'cause we went round the garden centre, which was a bit of a drag for me. But that was really good. It was almost like being independent and being able to do that thing which you can't do when you're blind, which is just like wander round wherever you want to go that takes your fancy. But I would really recommend I don't do an advert for them, but I really would recommend the Vision Hotels. And then when we went there with East Midlands Group, we had some people who'd not travelled independently before on their own, but they left their partners at home, old people, and came to the hotel and had a whale of a time because they were also able to meet other blind and partially sighted people. And, you know, you have one of those conversations where you think you're the only person in the world who gets really frustrated or mm-hmm. bothered about something, and you say, then somebody else says, oh, that's exactly how I feel about it. And you feel tons better about stuff. So, great therapy.
That's interesting. So, Ben, let me put that back to you, because, you know, your holidays are, you know, completely contrast against each other, which I find quite interesting. And I think a lot of people would probably not imagine that two blind people would just plonk themselves in the middle of Manhattan and say, let's enjoy ourselves. And actually, you actually did enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that, you know, we did... I mean, there wasn't an awful lot of planning involved, but it sort of preparation in our own minds, I guess, went on quite a lot. But it was just kind of one day we both said, oh, it'd be nice to go to New York. And we just thought, right, well, we're going to do it. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's sort of, yeah, I guess it's, well, why shouldn't we go sort of thing?
Well, absolutely.
And, I mean, I've done sort of, you know, inclusive holidays before and that. You know, I just wanted to do something on my own, just something different.
So that's interesting. So you both, you both now have tried. You both tried mm-hmm. inclusive holidays, if you like, if that's how you want to put it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in John's case, you're probably thinking, I'd quite like to do more of that. Ben, you're thinking, actually, maybe I'd like to be a bit more independent. I mean, John's
that's
comment.
That's just me at the end of the day, because I feel that, you know, it gives me a bit more control or a bit more variety. And I don't know. I mean, that's just me, really.
But John's comment that he picked up on, that I want to pick up on there, where he said, you know, getting into the pool, you know, it's like you have to explain yourself. And that can be the case when you're walking down the street, you're constantly bumping into people, or, you know, we've all experienced it to some degree. You know, does that make you nervous, or are you one of those, you know, whatever kind of people?
I'll be completely, I'd like to, you know, say that it didn't. But to be honest, it did. The prospect of kind of having to ask for help a lot kind of made me a bit worried, like, oh, we're going to be able to do it. And so as it got closer to the time, I'll be completely I got more and more worried. But and we did have to do a lot of explaining, and sometimes it's a bit frustrating to sort of explain to people each time, but you know what, at the end of the day we really enjoyed it, so it was kind of worth all that explaining in the end.
John, people are quite
understanding.
Yeah, John, I mean, from your perspective, you know, you say that you would probably consider inclusive holidays. We're going to be talking to one provider later of inclusive holidays, if you want to term it that way, Travelize. And, you know, they take people on adventure trips all around the world. You know, so would that now make you think, well, actually, maybe I'll give this a try?
I'd certainly feel better about it, Stephen, because, as I said before, the idea of going on a blind, you know, related holiday would have kind of filled me with horror. I'd say, no, just want to go on my own or with my partner, you know, which is what we mostly do. And I think, you know, all of us can go on all sorts of different stuff. I mean, I travel quite a lot independently. And it's quite good because, you know, you get on. I do a fairly regular journey where I involves changing trains and things. And and I get on at a quiet station where there's hardly anybody ever there. So you find I'm standing on the platform, wait for the train to stop, walk forward, but I find myself in a kind of, you know, blind way, feeling my way along the train to find where the door is and everything. And I think, God, you know, I must look a bit weird doing this. And I think, well, what the hell? It's either do this or stay at home. Then you get on the train and you have to, you go into the carriage and you say, are there any empty seats anywhere at all? And sometimes you're met with stony silence. And sometimes you get, you know, a really helpful people who will, a person will say, yeah, there's one over there. And you think, oh, God, here we go. Right,
what's over there?
But then you can meet some really nice people who you chat to and stuff. And, you know, I'm with Ben all the way. Let's just if we can get out and travel on our own, I mean, why not? And it's and actually, in some ways, the challenge of just walking somewhere on your own with a white cane is kind of quite exciting. But you know, for a sighted person, it's just walking down the street. For you, it's, oh my God, what am I going to find now? What's going to happen? You know, it's in a perverse way, that's quite fun.
Let me ask you about something I've noticed. I was in Portugal a couple of years ago, and I remember thinking as I was walking down this lovely bit near the beach, and it was very pleasant. But one thing that came to mind was that I wasn't an anonymous traveller like everybody else. People were staring. I knew they were doing that. People were maybe asking questions, talking to you about your sight loss, all of these things. Do you experience any of this? And does that sort of feeling that you're not an anonymous traveller, you don't just fit in with everyone else, the guy and girl walking down arm in arm in the, you know, in the as the moon's coming up or down or whatever, you know, you know, does that bother you? Is that something that affects you guys?
I wouldn't have said so. I mean, you know, it's one of those things you think about to begin with, but if you let it bother you, it's going to always bother you. So you just have to say, you know, I'm doing my thing. Everyone else is doing their thing. So let's just do it. I mean, you do think about it sometimes, but it's the way it is, really.
John?
Yeah, absolutely. It used to bother me more when I was partially sighted, and now I'm totally blind. And now I kind of think, well, what the hell? I can be me, and if that's a bit different from somebody else, then so what? The world is full of, you know, the world needs to kind of understand diversity. We're all different. We all have our different ways of doing things, and as long as we're not actively harming each other, then, you know, it's fine. So, yeah, I'm sure I know people stare at me, because I sometimes go at my partner and she says, okay, I get really fed up with the people staring at us.
Yeah.
And I think, well, actually, I've become blissfully unaware of whether people stare at me or not.
That's the thing about being blind, though, isn't it? If you're completely blind, you've no idea they're staring at you.
Not at all. And you think, well, I can't get too wound up about it, because they might be, they might not.
Might not be, yeah.
Exactly, you know? Can't let it bother you, because if you let it bother you, then you're going to be in an even worse situation.
But at the same point, though, I think that we are kind of ruled a bit by public attitudes. That's often the impression I get from any conversation I ever have with a blind person or a partially sighted person. Everything tends to come back to public attitude and the impact that it has on us, whereas, you know, sighted people probably don't feel like that. Maybe do in different ways, but not in the same way that we all tend to face it. So, for example, when we get on a bus, you know, people are sort of, oh, right, okay, here's a blind guy, right, so we need to give him a seat or we need to ignore him or whatever. You know, you don't just get on and sit down. There's another aspect to everything we do, and that is dealing with the public at every given time.
It's true, but I mean, you know, we say that all blind people are individuals, are all different. Well, actually, all the public doesn't exist. It's all a group of individuals.
Yeah.
And, you know, they I mean, I yeah, some people treat me in a way that I think is quite rude and, you know, and patronising. And other people are absolutely many brilliant. And it's just down to the individuals. But, you know, you don't have to worry about it too much.
Exactly. I mean, it was like, you know, when we walked into the hotel in New York, I'm sure they were a bit like, oh, what are these guys? I mean, they're out on their own. And sort of, I think that's the sort of feeling we got. But, you know, near the end of our stay, it was, they'd seen that we weren't really any different to anyone else. And I guess that helped to change their attitude. So you do notice it sometimes, but it's one of those things you have to sort of, you know.
Yeah, but it is a challenge for a lot of people, and I think you're right. I think it's something you have to try and get over. The problem is, of course, that you turn a corner, you know, in a physical sense, you actually turn into another street, and you face another person who has got, you know, another view and another opinion they want to share. And I think it's just how much of that can you bear at times.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we experienced so many different sort of attitudes. Sometimes we were, like, you know, walking along the street and we'd get to a street corner. I mean, pretty much every street corner we got to, there was someone who said, do you want help crossing the road? And that was a bit like, we don't get that even here. You know what I mean? I mean, to get someone to offer you to, if I walked into town now, I'd be very shocked to get someone to say, oh, do you want help crossing the road? But over there, it was quite a lot. And I don't know, it's, You experience it from, you might walk down one street and get a load of people staring at you, but then you might walk down one and get some people quite open and helpful. So it really varies, to be honest.
I think that's a really interesting point, because my experience of travelling in the States, it's the same as yours, Ben, is that actually there, people are much more relaxed about offering you help. I think here, people kind of, when I used to be able to see, I could see them standing next to me, kind of wondering, should I say something? Is that the right thing to do?
Yeah, they worry quite a lot, don't they?
Yeah, I haven't read the rule book about it, whereas in the States, somebody will, they'll say, you know, oh, do you want a hand? And actually, brilliantly, if you say, no thanks, that's fine, they don't get all offended.
Well, I think it's great to hear your experiences. One thing, John, I would suggest you do, Ben has done this and I have done it as well, and that is try out the International House of Pancakes. Wow. That is an experience and a half.
It is, yeah. Shredded hash browns, you've got to do that. Yeah.
Or what was it I got? Pancakes, strawberries, bananas and cream. And that was breakfast. So, you know, fantastic. Guys, good to talk to you about your VIP getaways. And John and Ben, thanks for joining us in the Weekly Connect.
Thank you, Stephen.
The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.